Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. The city of Somerville has just completed something no other American municipality has ever done, a research project aimed at figuring out how happy its residents are.
Happiness, or well-being, is very much in vogue these days as a way to measure the success of public policy, adding to more conventional measures like economic growth. The survey that Somerville sent out was attached to their annual city census earlier this year.
It asked questions like, how satisfied are you with your life in general? Then it moved into more specific areas, such as how would you rate the effectiveness of local police?
The idea was to figure out what types of city services make people happier. And now, after almost 7,000 responses, the results are in. Radio Boston's Adam Ragusea brings us the numbers.
So despite living with the grit, congestion, and the constant shark-like menace of Pat's towing, residents of Somerville are a pretty happy bunch, turns out. When asked to rate their happiness on a scale of 1 to 10, the average response was a solid 7.5. Now granted, no other city has ever done this kind of survey before, so we don't know if that's high or low, comparatively speaking. But Somerville Mayor Joe Curtatone is nonetheless encouraged by the results.
Gives us a good sense that people are satisfied in the direction the city's heading. They're happy to be in Somerville.
And generally speaking, the people who reported higher levels of happiness also reported a greater satisfaction with their own neighborhood, its physical setting, beauty, and the quality of services, like schools. Though a weird outlier was Ward 1, that's East Somerville. People there reported the highest levels of happiness in the city, 8.8 out of 10 on average, but their neighborhood satisfaction came in at 6.9, a noticeable discrepancy, says Mayor Curtatone.
It is an area of the city that historically really got screwed with 93 and widening of 28 and landlocked by transportation infrastructure that didn't service the community. You know, that's changing. It's going to change moving forward. So it'll be really interesting to see how people's perceptions on that evolve.
The one thing I would add is that while residents in Ward 1 were dissatisfied with their neighborhood, they were statistically significantly happier with the city as a whole.
That's Tara Acker, director of Somerstat, the mayor's internal number-crunching office. They've come up with a few interesting takeaways, like this one.
Basically, what we're seeing is that the more similar residents feel to other people, the happier they are.
It seems like the policy implications of that are kind of troubling, right? It would seem to suggest that if you wanted to keep your residents happier, you would shuffle them into more homogeneous neighborhoods.
I wouldn't jump to that conclusion.
Again, Mayor Curtatone.
And we need to collect more data. You know, Ward 1's probably the most diverse quarter of the whole city, the eastern part of the city. Yet people are happy there. When the people say they're similar, maybe it's not just in terms of ethnicity or race. It could be socioeconomic setting. It could be that we just live in the same neighborhood and we're fighting for the same thing.
It's important to keep in mind that this is all based on a very small data set. But Mayor Curtatone says he plans to integrate the happiness survey into every annual city census moving forward and to encourage other cities and towns to do the same. For Radio Boston, I'm Adam Ragusea.
And for more on happiness and cities, we're going to turn now to Ed Diener, who's considered one of the founding fathers of the rapidly growing field of happiness research. He's a distinguished professor emeritus of psychology at the University of Illinois. And we asked him to have a look at the Somerville survey results, and he was good enough to do so. And Ed Diener, thanks for doing this. What's your first reaction to these results from Somerville?
I mean, I think doing studies like this are wonderful because planners and leaders need to get more feedback from the people, and this is a perfect way to do it. Now, of course, people's life satisfaction depends on their own life and how their marriage and work and all those things are going. But what we find is that the environment matters, too. So even things like air pollution can lower life satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
Long commuting time, people who have to drive an hour in difficult traffic oftentimes have lower life satisfaction. So these surveys that Somerville did can pick up on factors like that and see where we need to change things.
Interesting. Now, the Somerville survey found a correlation between satisfaction with city services and overall life satisfaction. So I'm wondering, does this tell us that better city services make people happier, or is it that happier people tend to view their city in a more positive light?
I think you've exactly hit on one of the problems, that until you start also measuring some objective things that will correlate. So it's interesting because a lot of times the things that correlate most strongly with your life satisfaction are your marriage, your family, your work, things that are very close, your health, things that are close to you. And things that are farther away, even though they get us excited, like national politics, unless they're really big, they don't influence our day-to-day happiness so much. But if you added on some measures of objective factors, how's the crime rate in that neighborhood? How much corruption is there, et cetera? If you start looking at objective social factors, objective environmental factors, then you could look at the objective factors and see if they correlate and back up the other factors.
Now, some of the things seem sort of obvious. For example, people say they'd be happier if there was better parking enforcement, better policing. My question is, do city governments really need research to tell them they should be performing their basic functions better?
That's right. And so some things we already know. We probably want better schools, and we don't need to know that. What we do, though, is start to get some interesting things. Like you'd say, well, for the environment, maybe public transportation is better than private transportation. But now we're coming to a point where cars can actually get as good a mileage as most, or better than most mass transit districts, electric cars, for example. So now you start saying, well, if the environment is in balance, which one makes people happier? And we actually find that unless mass transit is very pleasant, it can make people just as unhappy as driving in heavy traffic.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no advantage there. So this is something you wouldn't know unless you did it. So some of the stuff is kind of obvious, but a few of the other things are not so obvious. And in each case, even if it's obvious, it just gives added weight to certain kinds of policies or concerns.
Sure. Now, if other cities follow suit, and Somerville is really the first city in the U.S. to do this, what do you think we might be able to learn from them? Do you think it'd be a good idea for other cities to follow suit?
Well, I think at some point it'll almost become necessary, because if we have other cities doing it, then we'll be able to see more variability. I mean, I'm sure Somerville has different areas, but if you look across the U.S., you really see, you know, areas that really have a lot of green space, areas that really don't have, you know, any green space, and you can start getting a better handle on the factors that really count. So you find different patterns for different kinds of things that are really important.
Hmm. Well, some good lessons in there, Ed Diener. Thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's Ed Diener. He's a distinguished professor emeritus of psychology at the University of Illinois.
Hello, world, hear the song that we're singing. Come on, get happy. A whole lot of loving is what we'll be bringing. We'll make you happy.